this morning. And it's great to be here as family together, isn't it?
Amen.
Amen. We started out this new year with a goal. And we talked about that goal last week, was to really focus on making this house of God a house of prayer. That people all around this area, whether it be other churches, whether it be our neighbors, whoever it be, that they would come to know us as a house of prayer. That's our goal. You know, we are known in the area for a lot of different things. You know, one of it is, that's where the old rock church used to be, right? And others, it's, well, y'all are the folks that don't use instrumental music, right? And just a couple of weeks ago, I might have told some of you this, I was at the barber shop getting my hair cut, and I ran into a preacher from one of the local denominations. We were chit-chatting a little bit, and he said, well, isn't that the place where that guy was hiding under the stage and the police went under there to get him? See, we're known by all kinds of things around here. Okay. What we want to be known as is a house of prayer to God. That's what we're working at being, more and more, to be known as a house of prayer, a place where people can come to pray to God, where we learn how to pray. And that's what we're going to be talking about this morning, is learning how to pray. Last week I mentioned to you this particular text that we're looking at this morning, Luke chapter 11. If you haven't already turned your Bible there, go ahead and do so. That we look at the idea that, you know, there were a lot of things that we read about in the New Testament, specifically in the Gospels, that Jesus' disciples asked him questions about. They asked him all kinds of things, but there were very few things that Jesus' disciples asked him specifically to do for them, and this is one of those things. We don't know which disciple it was, but one of the disciples went to Jesus and said, Lord, teach us how to pray, just as John taught his disciples how to pray. So, you know, from that statement alone, we need to really grasp the importance of what prayer really is. You see, that Jesus' disciples saw him on numerous occasions praying, didn't they? The Scriptures tell us over and over again that Jesus went off by himself in a quiet place to pray. And the disciples, I can just imagine, you know, the disciples standing back as here goes Jesus again, off to pray again. And here's the disciples in the back, goes, there he goes again. What's he doing? I know he's going to pray, but does he have to do it so often? What's that all about? You know, they didn't know, apparently. Because on this occasion, when Jesus came back from praying, the disciple went to him and said, Lord, teach us how to do that. Show us how to do what you're doing. See? And I hope that this morning, in our time together as we study, I hope that if we don't accomplish anything else, that I can help to instill within everyone here that same desire that the disciples had back then to want to learn more how to pray. Okay? Because that is something we all need to do. We all need to learn more and more how to pray. And so I hope that we can have that, a desire, just like that disciple that would go to Jesus and say, teach me how to pray. And teach me how to do that. Well, this morning I want us to look at what Jesus taught his disciples on this occasion. And I want to suggest to you, first of all, before we look at the specifics of this test, that although I can't prove this, okay, this is a Russism, okay? All right? But I doubt very seriously that this is the only time that Jesus ever talked about prayer to his disciples. Okay? I doubt that it was. As often as Jesus himself prayed, and as often as his disciples were with him, that he taught them what prayer was really all about. And so let's look at what Jesus taught his disciples about prayer this morning. What can we learn from that as Jesus' disciples today? What can we learn as we're asking Jesus, teach us how to pray? Well, when you look at this first part here, verses 2 through 4, the text that was read for us, there's a lot of different names that people have attributed to this particular part of Jesus' teaching on prayer. You see, whether you call it the Our Father or a lot of people refer to it as the model prayer. Jesus, I don't think that his intention was for us to take this and memorize it and use it specifically word for word as a prayer. I don't think that was his intention. I think when we look at the elements of what Jesus has included in here, I think that's what he's trying to teach his disciples. When you pray, see, here are things that you need to be focusing on. Here are the elements, so to speak. You see, prayer is never intended by God to be vain repetition. See, Jesus, he's talking about that. But, you know, vain repetition, what does it get us? All we're doing is saying a bunch of words that we're not even thinking about. I don't think that his intention was ever for us to memorize these words and to just say them at some given time. But rather, look at the elements of this prayer and what is it that he's talking about here. You see, our prayers need to be thoughtful conversation with God. That's what prayer is conversation with God. And if all we're doing is just repeating some words that we've memorized, they don't have a lot of meaning to us because all we're doing is just saying these words. There's not a lot of thought in that, and therefore not a lot of thoughtful conversation, is there? Okay. I want you to think about it this way. Let's say that, you know, I met with Ray every day, and Ray and I sat down, and every day I sat down with Ray, and I said to Ray, "Ray, I really like your sweater. And Ray, I think your wife is really nice. And Ray, I'm glad that you're here at our church." And if I said that very same thing every single day that I sat down with Ray, let me ask you this. How far do you think our relationship would ever grow? It wouldn't grow beyond the fact that Ray knew that I liked his sweater, I thought he had a nice wife, and I'm glad that he's here. It wouldn't go beyond that. See? And when all we do is just repeat something over and over and over again, that's basically what we're doing in our conversation with God. Our relationship isn't going to go anywhere beyond that. And so what God wants us to have in our prayer life and what Jesus is demonstrating to his disciples in talking about this prayer is that he wants thoughtful, meaningful conversation with him about our relationship with God. You see, look at what he's saying here. Look at the very first parts of this. He's talking about, first of all, in our conversation with God, that it should be a conversation that is honoring God and focusing on his kingdom. Okay? "Our Father who art in heaven, holy be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Yeah, I memorized that. I had to do that when I was growing up. Okay? That's what he's telling us here is to, first of all, we need to honor God in our conversation with him. Okay? Again, what if I met with Ray every day and we had a conversation and my first opening to Ray was, "Ray, you old scoundrel"? Well, how often would Ray want to talk to me? Okay? So our introduction, in a sense, in the conversation is important, isn't it? That we recognize who it is that we're conversing with. And how many of you have ever been in a conversation with someone that kept calling you by the wrong name? You know, they couldn't remember your name. And it's like, you're not even listening to what they're saying. What are you thinking about? I don't even know my name. Right? And so, you know, again, it's thoughtful in that we recognize who we're talking to. Who am I having this conversation with? I'm not having it right now with Ray or with Ted. I'm having this conversation with God. You see? And so I'm calling upon His name in that way. And then the next part of this is that He includes in there that, you know, we need to be bold enough to ask for our daily sustenance. You know? Give us this day our daily bread. You see? That God wants us to come to Him, and we're going to talk more about this in just a minute. He wants us to come and ask for those things that we need for our daily lives. Okay. And to converse about those things with Him. We need also to have a penitent heart and a willingness then to forgive other people. Okay. Forgive us our sins, our trespasses, as we forgive others. We declare unto God in this conversation that we're having with Him that we need forgiveness for our sins. And we declare our willingness to forgive those who sin against us. And then the fourth element that I see here is that we are seeking His divine protection from Satan. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Protect us by Your divine power. Okay. That we bring these things before God in this conversation that we have with Him about who He is and who we are and about our daily lives and what's going on in our lives. And the fact that, yes, in our daily lives, sometimes we stumble and we fall and we sin, and we need to be picked back up, and we need the power in our lives to help us in our daily journey. And that we need His protection because we recognize the power of Satan. We ask God to help us with that. And so in this very first part of Jesus teaching His disciples how to pray, He talks about these important aspects, or I just refer to them as elements, of our conversation with Him. See? But as He goes on in this teaching moment here, there's more to this teaching. There's more to the question that the disciples have, or the request, teach us to pray. There's more to it than just these words that we refer to as a model prayer. Look at what He says in this next part, beginning in verse 5. He says, suppose that one of you has a friend, and he goes to him at midnight and says, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. Then the one inside answers, don't bother me, the door's already locked, and my children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. Look at verse 8. I tell you, though, he will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend, yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. I say to you, ask and it will be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be open. Wow. So what are you saying to us, Jesus, as you're telling us how to pray here? What are you saying to us? He's saying, I want you to ask me. I want you to come to me and ask. And I want you to be bold about it. Yeah, that's right. We are allowed to be bold in our asking, in our conversation with God, to come to Him and to request what we need. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, the Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy and said, God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. God gave us that spirit not to be timid, and He doesn't want us to be timid when we come to Him. He wants us to be bold. He wants us to come to Him and to ask Him. You say, as He says here in this story, this little short parable, the reason that the man got up and gave his friend the bread is not because he had asked him because he needed it, but because he was so bold in doing so. Okay? Because he was so bold. And we need to be bold likewise. Let me ask you this, especially those of you who have small children. When your children ask you for something, how do they approach you generally? Okay. Whining, someone said. No, don't they come with boldness? Don't they come with boldness and they say, you know, I want this, I want a cookie, I want some cake, I want this, I want a bike, I want. They ask, don't they? What's on their mind, they ask for. Until they start growing up and we just kind of keep putting them down, then sometimes they get to the point where they're afraid to ask. And I think maybe that's what's happened to some of us, is we don't have boldness to ask God. But He tells us, doesn't He, to be like little children. And we need to have that kind of boldness to go to our Father and to ask Him. You say, ask Him for what we need. James 4 and verse 2, James tells us, you do not have because you do not ask God. Yeah. We don't have because we don't ask. How many times have you thought in a circumstance that you're dealing with, that maybe you're struggling with something and you say, well, I don't want to bother God with that. Yeah. Oh, it's a small thing. I can handle this. I don't want to bother God. We don't. We don't bother Him. He's got bigger things to worry about. After all, He's kind of taking care of the universe, right? Okay? So I don't want to bother God with that. And God all the time is saying, bother me. Go ahead. Bother me with it. You see. Oftentimes in my work, I have people that will call me very timidly and say, I really hate to bother you. Some of you have done this, okay? I really hate to bother you. And I know the sentiment. I hate to bother you. But I was wondering if you could, you know, help me with this or whatever the request is. And my response to that is, you're not an interruption to my work. You're the reason for it. You see? And I think that's how God looks upon us. We're not bothering Him. You see? We're fulfilling His purpose for us in our lives. And so we need to be able to go to Him with confidence and boldness and to ask Him. Because if we don't ask, we're not going to receive. And I think there's an awful lot of Christians who are walking around that aren't being blessed because they're just simply not asking God to bless their lives. And so that's why He says, ask. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open. I don't know about you, but I take God at His word. And that's a promise as far as I'm concerned. That's a promise. Okay. But then that leads us, the last thing that we need to understand about this is, what are we asking for? Okay. What are we asking for? When we go to God, what is it that we are asking for? Notice what He says in the next part of this. Verse 11, which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? James 4 and verse 3. We looked at verse 2 a moment ago, verse 3. And he talks about there the fact that when we do ask, he says you don't receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on yourselves. And so sometimes our asking is not with the right motives. When our motives aren't right, we shouldn't expect to receive anything from God. So the whole question and the issue that I think Jesus wanted His disciples then, and I think He wants us to know, is that we've got to be paying attention to what it is we're asking for. When we're going to God in this conversation, what are we asking Him for? What do we have, in a sense, on our agenda? Are we being specific? Are we being specific in our prayers? And I think that sometimes we're not being very specific. You know, sometimes that I hear people pray, Lord, help me to be a better Christian. Well, what does that mean? Okay. What does that mean? That sounds good to start with, but maybe what we need to be doing, instead of just saying, help me to be a better Christian, we need to be looking specifically at the things that are keeping me from being a better Christian and asking God specifically to help me get that out of my life. What's causing me problems? God, help me to get rid of this, whatever this is. Okay? Be specific. Okay? Talk to God and tell Him what you need. Tell Him what's on your heart. Okay? Be specific about it. We need to think about our prayer requests, I think, a lot more. That sometimes I think we have a general, you know, this pray for me, you see, or I need to pray, I need prayers. Okay, well, what do you need prayers for? Well, you know, just prayers, just pray. And I think that sometimes we need to be specific about what those prayers are, especially when we're going to God. God, help me in this area of my life, God. Help me to do this. Help me to do that. Help me overcome this. Whatever it might be. But then, we need to be very careful. You know, there's an old saying that says, be careful what you ask for, because you just might get it. Right? So, if we believe in the promises of God that He will, if we ask, He will give it to us, then we need to be careful what we ask for, don't we? You see? And then another part of that is that are we really ready to receive whatever it is that we've asked of God to give us? You see? For instance, as a church, we can pray and ask God to bring more people to us that we might be able to teach them the gospel. But are we ready to receive them? I was at a church several years ago, actually the beginning of my ministry, and we decided we're going to canvass the whole area, the whole city. We're going to send out these mail-outs to offer people Bible studies. You know, these Bible correspondence courses. We did that. And we put a map up on the wall there in the hallways, and we could put pins on it where all these requests we got back. We sent out all these things. I don't remember, several thousand of them we sent out. We got back 100 and some odd of these things back. And people said, we can't handle all this. People were overwhelmed. They weren't really ready to have God answer that prayer. See? So we need to be careful when we ask God something. Let's make sure that we're ready to receive whatever it is that God gives us an answer. And by the way, sometimes that answer may not be what we were really expecting. It may not be what we really wanted. It may be something to help us to grow or to learn. It may be something difficult. I'll give you an example. Sometimes people come to me and say, will you pray for you know, so-and-so, my child or my neighbor or whoever it is, somebody they ask a prayer request. And I know that what's going on in that person's life is things that shouldn't be going on in that person's life. So what I pray about is that God will somehow take that person and cause something to happen in that person's life that will cause them to change their life and give their life to Christ or turn it around or whatever the case may be. And you know, sometimes praying like that can be kind of scary, can't it? Because we don't ever know what God might do in answering that prayer. And that sometimes people have to go through turmoil in order to rise up to the point where they know that they need to be. And that's difficult. So we need to be prepared for that, is what I'm saying. Okay? When we ask God, we need to be prepared for Him to answer our prayers. Okay? Verse 13 in this text. To me, this is really the power of learning how to pray, is what Jesus says right here. In other words, I think this is the most important thing that we can pray for. And I think that's why Jesus specifically mentioned this way. Again, look at what he says. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? Let me ask you this. When was the last time you prayed and asked God to give you the Holy Spirit? See? Yeah. Pray for the Holy Spirit. You see, we got a lot of people in our brother who don't even believe that the Holy Spirit indwells in people. You see? I'm thankful that we don't have that situation here. I think a lot of folks here, most folks here, I think believe and understand that indeed the Holy Spirit does live and dwell within us. But I do wonder how many of us are asking God to have Him to do so. You see? He's there. He's available to us. How often are we asking God to fill us with His Spirit? To help us then to deal with whatever the situation is. To give us the strength. To give us the protection that we need to overcome whatever it is that we're facing. God, fill me with your Spirit. If you ask Him to do that, He promises to do it, doesn't He? If you ask Him to do that, He promises to do it, doesn't He? Yeah. I mean, you see that, don't you? You're not just saying, yeah, because I said it twice, right? You see, that's a promise from God, and we need to call upon Him to keep His promises, don't we? That's part of what prayer is all about. God, you promised it if I would ask, you would give it to me. And I'm asking you to give me your Spirit. We can pray that with boldness, knowing that He will do that. He'll give us His Spirit. Let me tell you, that's power right there. That's power. That's the power we need to sustain us through whatever we're facing today. Okay? That's what we need to be praying about, I believe, more than anything. And I think that's what Jesus wanted His disciples to understand. Pray that God will give you His Spirit. Okay? I pray that every day. Every day I pray, God, fill me with your Spirit. Help me to be like your Son Jesus. I know I can't do it without His Spirit. I pray for His Spirit. And I want to encourage you to do the same thing. Ask Him for His Spirit in your life. See? We have a Father who knows how to give that to us. That's what He's promising us here. Okay? What He's promising. God wants us to come to Him and to talk to Him, to converse with Him. That's what prayer is all about. It is our communication with Him. we're going to talk a little bit later on about God's communication with us, specifically through the Scriptures. That's what it is. God communicates through us through His Word. We communicate back to Him through prayer. But it's conversation. And so we need to be thinking about what it is that we're conversing with Him about. Not just saying things that we've just said all along, or we've learned that this is the things that you say, but that we think about it. We have heartfelt conversation with God, because that's how you build relationships. And that we come to Him with boldness. Okay. Boldness to ask and to seek and to knock. Okay. And that when we're asking, that we understand what it is that we're asking for. We're ready to receive it. And that most of all, most importantly, we ask for His Spirit in our lives. If we got His Spirit working in our lives, there's anything we can't have. Nothing we can't have. And that's what God promises to do for us. What about you in your prayer life right now? How are you doing? How are you doing in your prayer life? Okay. Is your prayer life just kind of become a repetitious thing where you just kind of just say the same things that you used to say because you've kind of gotten into that comfort zone and you've kind of lost any meaning there? Or maybe have you found yourself just being timid about praying to God and asking Him to bless your life? Or perhaps maybe you've been praying to God boldly, but maybe you've been praying with the wrong motives. All of these things we need to look at in our prayer. If we really want to learn how to pray like Jesus' disciples wanted to learn, and these are things that we look at, okay, so that we can build a stronger relationship with God through our prayer or our conversation with Him. What can we help you with this morning in your life? What can we help you with to enhance your prayer life? Or what can we pray with you and for you about in your life this morning? It may be that there's a struggle that you have going on in your life. It may be relationships. It may be your relationship with God. It may be temptation or sin that you're struggling with. We want to try to help you to deal with that. We want to pray with you over that. Maybe some need that you have that we might be able to help you with, but we can't help you if we don't know what it is. We'll bring it before the Father this morning on your behalf if you would like us to do that. It may be that you're here this morning and you're not a Christian yet because you haven't given your life to Christ. If you're ready to do that, if you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and you want Him and you're ready to make Him Lord of your life, you can do that right now. You need to confess Him as Lord. And call upon Him and ask Him to forgive your sins. Repent of those sins that are keeping you separated from God. And you can have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism right now, this morning. So that you can leave this place as a new creation in Christ Jesus. If that's what you need to do and you're ready to do, then let me know that and we'll do that right now. Whatever your need is, we want to do our best to take care of it. Wes is going to come up. If you'll come up, Wes, and lead us in a song. We use this as an invitation song. And the invitation is open to anyone who needs the power of God in their life to help them with whatever's going on. Just come up and let me know while we're singing this song. Let's stand together.